after the credits from Whistler, the one and only update from Whistler. I am your co-host, Farida Antunes, joined today by a plethora of people. I don't know which way you guys want to go.
From Colleen, yay!
Bill Harris, festival reporter for Row 3, it seems.
Pretty much.
Adrian Charlie from nextprojection.com.
And Dale from the usual podcast. Hooray!
We're in the, we've taken over the atrium of the library.
What's that place? Studio 42?
Studio 42. Yeah. Is,
pretty much on the North Shore. It is the greatest recording studio ever. It certainly has the best view and the best goodies. So thanks for that. So, four days of Whistler? You guys have been here for 5 days.
Yeah. We went to a concert first night.
That's right.
We went to a Pearl Jam instead of Cass and Dylan.
Okay, that was a very good idea.
It was a good choice, yeah.
It was a very, very, very good choice. But we've been here for a few days. Festival is wrapping up. Haven't had a chance to sort of check in, but we're checking in now. Before we get started with like our top list, general thoughts on this year's festival?
Cold?
Well, I don't think that they can control the weather, but...
Not as good as last year?
See, yeah. For me, this was the
better
best yet.
This
really?
Year.
Better nice. Programming, yeah.
Nice.
But then again, I'm not attempting to see 30 films or whatever.
I only saw 7 a day.
I only saw 7 a day.
I think I saw 7, so... I was a lot more selective in my choices.
Yeah.
So, but what was your final count? Because you're the go-to 27? Guy.
27?
Wow.
That's not bad for 4 days.
Yeah. That's 101 at 5th.
God.
Well, man. I know, but this
which
is 4 days.
Which is 33 less than my personal best.
Oh, my God. Slacker.
Wow.
But overall, thoughts on the programming this year? I know that you had some not... You watched a lot more movies.
It got better as it went on. Yeah. The first couple days were pretty bad, and then it got... decent, and then it got pretty good. It definitely got better. And I just don't think I really want to do the morning press screenings because they all kind of sucked.
But yeah. It was good for scheduling if you're looking to squeeze in more movies.
Yeah, if you want to see 7 movies a day, that's your way
that's
to
the
do
way
it.
To
and
go.
The only way to do it.
Yeah, well, I went to the Pearl Jam concert, which got out at midnight, was on the 6:30 a.m. bus, got here at 8:50, checked into my hotel, got my pass, and was at a movie at 9.
Nice.
Hardcore.
I was
plus, was there a Manchester United
movie.
Game?
That was Saturday.
That was Saturday.
Yeah.
But you know, even if you don't take in like the midnight shows, you take in a 9 o'clock show, you get home, getting up for that 8:30 show, does it mean like you're getting a whole hell of a lot of sleep?
No.
Not if you like kind of want to eat, you know, and stay clean so you're not offending people.
Or drink and play cards against
or drink and play
cards
yeah.
2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Or stand in the cold watching losers championships. Because yeah. That's the way I see the losers are the best. Okay, but really, we're about the movies.
One thing on the program.
Yes.
You know, I told Bill, like, on going into day 4, I said, I was in a real slump, and I was like, I feel like I'm a National League pitcher stepping up to the plate just hoping to get on base. I was not happy with my batting average at that point. So
I only had one day where it was like really bad because we watched the late night movie the night before, and then the first screening of the day was really early and it was really terrible. I was like, fuck this, like, it'll only get better.
I remember we did a podcast at VIFF, and I had legitimately watched 2 straight days of like one-star films
yeah.
at VIFF, and I was pissed.
Yeah.
Nothing like that here.
No, no. But I mean, there were some pretty terrible movies.
Yes, yeah, for sure.
Well, do we want to talk about the terrible ones before we start with the top list?
Yes, we do.
There were some like, really crappy stuff.
Yeah, the worst one I saw was Meth Head.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Meth Head and Savage were sort of
yeah,
on
Savage
the same,
was really bad too, actually.
Same level of terribleness, if that's even a word. Just awful. And those are the ones I watched back to back. So I'm like, okay, this could only get better. Like, they're both terrible. And whatever happened to Lucas Haas?
Yeah, he's usually so good.
Yeah.
He was the only reason I was interested in that film. Like, he's usually pretty solid. I like him in all the work he does. And instead, we get a movie I think that'll go down as one that you can, like, get together with your friends with and, like, riff on it. I think that's the only kind of enjoyment.
I don't know. I think only, except with the exception of that, like the Lycra scene, that's the only one that I could riff on. Yeah. The rest of it is just.
Would it be epic enough to go with like Plan 9 from Outer Space?
No, it's not that bad.
No, it's not that bad, but it's pretty bad.
Watch yourself.
Okay, yes.
I love Plan 9.
But you're an illegal. All by yourself.
True enough. Ed Wood rules.
Anything else that was really not hitting the mark for you guys? It wasn't totally terrible, but.
The wait, right?
The wait.
Yeah.
That was about the 9 a.m. show that I got in. Thursday.
Oh, very first
I rushed in. I'm like, oh, this is gonna be great. It's a film festival, and then this movie just sucks. And I'm just pissed off again. I'm just like,
Michael, it's sucking out the energy.
I can't even tell you what it's about.
Yeah.
Legit, I can't. Like, it makes no sense.
Ouch.
Like, you can try.
I think they were trying to go for like a Terrence Malick feel to it, like the openness and the. Deliberate sort of
pacing
without the voiceover and the plot and the actually good looking photography.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. So missing on a lot of levels.
So skip that one, you say.
Yeah, totally.
Skip it hard.
Well, let's talk top five. How do you guys want to do this one to go around? I don't know if everybody has five.
I have top two. Like I say, I saw a lot less.
Join in at two.
Okay. Yeah, join in at two.
Bill, you're sitting on that end. Why don't you start?
My number five, since I pulled this up, is the Borsos winner, The Husband, from Bruce MacDonald.
Yes.
I haven't liked the Bruce. I said that earlier. I hadn't liked a Bruce MacDonald film in 10 years, which was wrong because you. Pointed out that I actually like two of them.
Yeah.
And fuck Hardcore Logo too, by the way.
Other than Bucky Hate, come on.
That movie sucked. It doesn't have a redeeming quality to it. You expect it's going to get nice, and it doesn't get nice.
No.
And I was just like, wow, this is. I like films that do that.
Yep.
And the main character guy is great. He has a hyphenated name, I forget it. I congratulated Bruce on the film after the film, and he looked really surprised that somebody liked it.
Which it was weird. Blows me away.
Yeah.
Crazy.
But yeah, number five, The Husband.
My number five is Peter Stebbing's Empire of Dirt. He did Defender a couple of years ago, the Woody Harrelson sort of semi-superhero movie. This is a really unexpected movie. It's a story about women dealing with issues and I don't know, I just really liked it. Really well shot, really intimate story, great performances. Highly recommended. Dale, I don't know how many you've got.
I don't have a five.
Okay, Bill.
I have a top four.
Bill.
Adrian. I know we both
look
the same.
You don't usually join us, so you know I'm kind of like surrounded by those.
We're the same person with different hair.
I've never faced in movies.
Oh, Jekyll and Hyde.
I was borrowing that line from Francis Ha. But my number five is Cass and Dylan that snuck in after I caught it today.
Bill's shaking his head.
Bill's shaking his head because it's heartless. No. But it's very. We've seen that story before, you know, two unlikely people get together and
at least 500 times before.
Oh, yeah.
But never with Tatiana Maslany, who was amazing.
Yeah, the performances really sold it for me. It was Maslany and Dreyfuss just doing work.
I will admit, I'm totally girl crushing on Maslany. So,
oh, she's gorgeous, yeah. Looks great on screen and. Yeah, I was really moved by that film. I quite enjoyed it, and that's why it made my number five.
Nice.
And I say just watch Orphan Black instead. Number four.
I can go with that too.
Number four, Jingle Bell Rocks, a documentary on people who collect Christmas carols.
Seriously?
It's awesome.
I read your tweet, and I wished I had
gone. It was
you've
never... They legit have these, like, weird, out-of-the-blue, like, songs called, like, Santa Claus... Rides a cruise missile. And the guy's playing it. He's like, this is the greatest song ever. And
I'm just, oh my God.
Yeah, I collect movies, so I understand the whole weirdness of it. But these guys are just really hardcore about it. And I really enjoyed how they go to the extremes to get these things. Like, there's like an actual like giant club of these guys who collect singles and make mixtapes at Christmas. And
it's like VHS.
And it's a competition between all of them.
That's insane.
And they figure out who has the best mixtape at the end. It's insane.
I'm totally finding this movie for Christmas. That is awesome.
Yeah, I was really surprised by it.
That wasn't anywhere on my radar. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
My number four, The Crash Reel, which is actually the closing night film, Lucy Walker's documentary, which I've talked about before. Really liked it. Really enjoyable. Great story. Awesome cinematography. It's good. We'll play on HBO eventually.
It already has.
Oh, has it?
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm seeing it in 5 hours.
Yeah, it's really great. Highly recommended.
My number four was Best Man Down.
Really?
Yeah. It's a story where the best man dies at the wedding reception. And they go on a little thing to find out. They end up finding out some interesting stuff about it. I enjoyed it. It was a nice change because it was kind of a bittersweet, but it wasn't like sad, depressing. It was, and it wasn't quite uplifting either. But
no,
it was a really human story, and I liked it.
I had trouble with it because of that reason, because I couldn't quite figure out if it was a comedy or a drama, or exactly what was going on. And I really liked the Tyler Levine storyline.
Yeah, the Tyler Levine, Addison Timlin stuff was great. I just didn't care at all about the Justin Long his wife stuff.
Yeah, that was probably the weakest part of the
movie. Yeah, it was just like... Yeah.
They were just basically the thread that propelled the story forward.
But wow, Levine was really good.
Yeah.
I was really impressed because I haven't really
that
seen
that. Addison Timlin girl is really good. She was also really good in Odd Thomas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, she's quite good. I like her quite a bit.
My number four was The Husband, and the Borsos Award winner, Best Canadian Picture. Really great story. Just kind of, I don't know if I've seen that film before, you know, like it felt fresh, and they didn't really pull any punches in that film. Like, it really took you to some dark places, and I enjoy that. You know, I like when a film can move me to some really bleak places. And the lead actor, his name's Alex. He also wrote the film, and he just did it. He just did a tremendous. He had a tremendous performance. His body posture, his body language, everything about it was just phenomenal. I thought so.
It was funny how he went from like complete rage to like hi. He's like totally happy, and then like half a second later, he's just like.
Yeah,
I'm totally angry again. I'm just like, that's so great.
But it's totally believable too, right? Because that's exactly how you would be if you're stuck in a situation that you can't really control.
Yeah.
You're trying to find your bearing somewhere in there and you just can't.
Okay, I got one for Colleen. My number three is The Station.
Oh, yeah! It's my number three.
That's my number two, actually.
Oh, nice. I started a trend. It's this really... fun, practical CG, no like giant budget. It's all like puppets and pipe cleaners.
Yeah,
like, and it's awesome.
It was awesome but the suspense was incredible.
Yeah,
like
totally.
That was.
Yeah, I like the idea of the practical special effects, but at the same time, if you don't have a story behind it, it doesn't really matter.
No.
And as you said, it's really, really tight. Like, I didn't feel like I was bored in that film at all. It just, everything was perfect. And there's this one character in the film that you think is like gonna be this totally docile person, and then like a half hour later she's slapping somebody.
I love that. Yes, I love that.
Yeah. She's amazing. Yeah. By far the greatest thing about that movie.
Yeah, and I know that it was really big at TIFF. I know a lot of people really liked it at TIFF, and I really hope people get to see it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it has a distributor in Canada and the US, but I really do hope
people get
to
see it. Yeah, I haven't looked. I agree. It was great fun. Big surprise. It was our first movie of the festival.
Yeah.
Great way to start.
Yeah.
Awesome way to start.
My number three is Odd Thomas.
Yay!
Yay!
Sweet!
Love!
I really enjoyed it. I didn't... Love it. It's not I'm gonna tattoo Odd Thomas on my arm.
Fun.
But yeah, it was a hell of a lot of fun. And Yelchin,
he's awesome.
I love that dude. Yeah. I can watch
him
endlessly, no matter what. He could be in the biggest heap of shit, and I'd still probably watch Yelchin.
I'd probably give it a chance.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if I'd watch it completely.
right.
But I really like that.
And that's my thing.
I, last night, because I'm really obsessed with Veronica Mars. Oh, okay. It had this really weird Veronica Mars vibe to it.
I've never seen Veronica Mars.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
You mean with the voiceover stuff?
Yeah, and just how everything was sort of, they would find little plot devices and it would advance the story to the point where there was always a big climax at the end and Veronica would figure it out somehow.
Yeah.
My main problem with that film is that it's too light at times.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's not dark at all.
No. And I kind of wish it had gone there because it kind of had that subject matter. But
yeah. And it certainly had the potential to be that dark. And for whatever reason, they didn't pull the punches.
Yeah.
Which is a little disappointing, but it's really enjoyable for light fluff. I liked it. But no, my number three was The Station. We already talked about it. It was awesome. Dale, your number three.
Cinco de Mayo.
Yes, that's my honor.
Okay, can you guys do your...
Holy shit, a film I haven't seen.
Listen to that. Can you do the $9 million thing?
Yeah.
$9 million!
He made it on $9 million. It had,
oh my God.
Do you remember 600 actors? Or 600 people?
800 actors. 800 people. 140 horses. 20 of which were stunt horses.
They did get like 200 people that the army lent them to do the production.
Almost every shot was done in one take because they didn't have one dime to spare. Like they budgeted the entire thing down to
this
the penny.
This was an epic war film. This was like Pearl. Well, and Pearl Harbor might be a bad.
There's no gloss to it. Like he wanted it to look like you were confused. Who are you fighting?
But no,
what was
like,
going on?
The war, like in most war films, like the old big budget war films from Hollywood, they did have like hundreds of people on the field. And they had practical effects, and they just went out and did it. And that's the way this was shot. And I think that was one of the things I liked about it. Like,
and one shot.
He didn't talk, but because they were on this budget, and they were shooting this epic thing with like hundreds of extras on the field, they only could do it in one shot.
Like, it's not perfect. But
no.
When you realize how much they did it for, even like $9 million, even in Mexico, this thing is of such scope, like... Holy fucking crap! $9 million,
but
even in Mexico doesn't
and
go that far.
Like Colleen said, like this won't have a universal appeal. But I think if you like historical, documentary style pictures,
period pieces, costumes,
you'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
I also didn't see it, so
yeah. So what was the runtime on it?
It's long. Oh yeah. Christ! Yeah,
God, it was under three.
Under three.
Yeah,
long.
Everything I saw at this festival was 90 minutes.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And I liked that quite a bit.
Yeah.
Adrian, your number three.
My number three, The Crash Reel. It was
nice.
Just really heartwarming, inspiring documentary.
Agreed.
I was a little worried at first when it started.
Because it looks like a rock concert.
He's watching a screener of it, and he texts me, he's like, I don't like this movie at all.
the opening 20 minutes are like an MTV documentary.
Yeah.
Like with a bunch of guys with GoPros snowboarding. But it looks really great. And I like that kind of stuff. So I was like, okay, well, I could watch this for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it takes a total turn. And it's
I think Marina liked it. Stick with it.
Yeah. It's really good.
Yeah. Once they change gears.
Yeah. But I mean, I think that setup is really important because it really sets up, you know, who he is and, you know, what was involved for those who didn't know him.
Yeah,
really good.
Yeah, because I'm not familiar with the snowboarding scene at all, and I was like, wow, this movie assumes I know everything about this
all
guy.
All I know about snowboarding is Shaun White won an Olympic gold medal in Vancouver.
Well, yeah, and Kevin Pierce probably would have won it if he hadn't had the accident.
Yeah, that's all I know about snowboarding.
So you know enough.
Yeah.
The words 1040 goofy foot for some reason stick in my head, but I don't know what that
means. SSX on the PlayStation 2, does that count?
In some circles.
My number two is, you gotta love a really dirty flick. My number two is Sex After Kids.
Nice.
Which I haven't seen.
It's very dirty.
Nice.
It has pretty much the entire cast of Lost Girl except for the two leads.
Aww. But Kelsey's in it?
Yeah.
When?
Yeah. It's sort of shot almost like a documentary going into separate different people's lives. And it's really dirty. And I like... the film kills.
Like
people lost their minds at this screening.
Has a distributor, though.
Yeah, I haven't heard people laugh like that in a long time.
Okay, good.
It's really funny, and I really needed a laugh. Like, I needed something to pick me up, and that was like the perfect film.
Awesome.
And a film that I totally didn't think I was going to like. It didn't sound like it was going to be good, but
yeah, and check I kind of left it off because it didn't sound like it would be, you know, anything particularly good. So
yeah, it's really, really funny.
Excellent.
My number two is Ice Soldiers.
Sweet.
Yes, I'm a genre girl. What can I say? Just something so charming that scientists just don't learn about digging things up from the ice.
Why, why the fuck do you thaw things up?
Have you not watched countless films with
this? We're making a t-shirt. Why you don't dig shit up from the ice? Like, The Thing. Ice Station.
The best thing about it was like this giant ice sheet with like red shit all over it.
Yeah.
And you had no,
that's
idea.
That's the station.
That's station.
That's the station?
No, this is the one with the three Russian dudes.
Crap, yeah, I screwed up. My bad. Watched a lot of movies in the last couple of days.
Three blonde-eyed, blue-eyed...
Dolph Lundgren and Ivan Drago looking Rocky IV.
Where did they find the guys? The Russians.
The main guy was really, really like Ivan Drago looking.
Yeah, well, Dominic Purcell from Prison Break, for anybody that watched that show. I didn't, but I know who he is.
Yeah.
I thought the snowmobile chase at the end was really awesome.
Yeah.
It was fun. Just, I mean, you've seen it before. It feels like your typical 80s action movie.
Oh, yeah.
And it works.
Yeah.
For what it is. My Dominic number Purcell. Two is Cheap Thrills.
Sweet.
Why are you looking at me like that? I hadn't seen it before, okay? Whatever. It's awesome. Awesome, awesome violence. And actually, I thought it's actually a really interesting take on how far people will go for their family. Never underestimate the guy with the family, regardless of how quiet he is. He will always win every single time.
I can't wait to see it at home. I made it through about 20 minutes before the trigger stomach of mine gave way and I had to leave the building. And I'm killing myself because you guys are talking it up so bad.
It's really good.
I'll jump in and say it's my number one, even though I saw it 2 months ago. I probably shouldn't be counting it, but fuck it, I watched it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's. We were talking to somebody after the screening, and I said, "Hey, dude, what'd you think of Cheap Thrills?" He's like, "It was really disgusting." And then he kind of walked away, and I'm just like, I didn't find it that bad.
No, neither did
maybe
I.
Maybe I'm just really desensitized.
No, I mean, there's certainly some moments where I kind of went, but I mean, it's not even that it's like particularly violent. You have to take it into the context.
It's the Tarantino effect. Something, the most violent thing in the film happens off screen, and you hear it.
Yeah.
And then it's just the guy going,
Yeah. Your mind is way worse than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really great. I was really impressed because I was just expecting like this gore fest. I don't know what I was expecting, but not an actual story that actually has some sort of heart, which was surprising.
Yeah, the plot is actually quite intricate.
It is.
Yeah.
And very smart.
Like the thing you think that's going on in the beginning is so not that movie.
No,
like,
exactly.
It's all over the place. But Draft House Films has it. I think it opens in February.
Awesome.
Something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah. And check it out.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll jump in just because it's my number one film too.
Awesome.
One thing I noticed when I was watching the film, I love visual filmmaking, and like Bill said, it's a lot more intricate than is on the surface. Ethan Embry and Pat Healy are like head to head in this film, right? And there's times when they're shooting them. And Ethan Embry's on the left side of the frame, and Pat Healy's on the right side of the frame. And it's very subtle, but it's like something I thought was so cool. It kind of just, it's a subtle technique that really just polishes the film.
I got one more thing. Big shout out to David Koechner for just being so goddamn awesome.
Yeah.
He's got this really douchey hat on.
Yes.
And
it's the Breaking Bad hat.
Yeah, he's just the one line king in that film.
Yeah.
Every time he opens his mouth, you laugh.
Yeah, that movie kills, man.
Totally.
It's funny, it's rough, and it's really smart. I really enjoyed it. It wasn't my number one, but I really, really liked it. Failure number two. We're still at number two.
My number two was The Station, so.
And you've done your number one, but you haven't done your number two.
Number two is The Station. Yeah. Yeah. I love that movie.
Oh, the overlap.
Yeah.
You gotta love it.
Yeah, it's awesome. I think it's gonna be one of those genre classics we all watch.
I think so. I just
agree.
We'll introduce it to all our friends and everybody. And then
I hope so, because that movie is pretty awesome.
It's not like, I think it's funnier and a lot more accessible than The Thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know a lot of people who aren't genre fans get freaked out by The Thing.
The Thing is
pretty creepy.
Yeah.
Creepy as hell. Yeah. Yeah. You can't help but take it maybe a bit more lighter than that one.
Yeah, because it's a little more ridiculous.
Ebix, genetically modified with a wasp.
I think the characters are more approachable
too, than
in The Thing. Yeah.
And there's a plot device in the film. This really is much of a spoiler, but the way that works is that it like splices together DNA from certain animals and makes a new animal. And every time something comes on the screen, you're like, hey, that would be cool if it combined with a human.
The sequel to that movie is going to rule.
Yes, we already have theories.
Well, they're all infected and they're on the helicopter.
Colleen was like, I wonder what happened to the cow.
I know. They showed the carcass of the ruptured part cow.
It's on the extras of the DVD. Yeah.
I hope so. My God.
Colleen, what's your number one?
The Station.
Much love for The Station.
It's freaking brilliant.
The only one, I guess I'm the only one that's the odd man out, but my number one is actually The Husband. I really, really like Kevin McCall's movie a lot.
I am going to be the odd man out, I promise you.
Oh, what's your number one?
Yeah, I don't even think I should. I'm going to be embarrassed now.
Oh, no.
Finding Mr. Right.
Another movie I didn't see.
Yeah, I enjoyed the bloody hell out of that movie. It's cheesy. I mean, it's a rom-com, you know, but just because it was shot from it was very much formulaic, but because it was done like from a Chinese point of view, it's just different enough, and it was really funny, and the characters were great, and the lead actress is drop-dead gorgeous, so...
I'm sure that movie will play really well in Vancouver. Yes. Just reading the synopsis.
Oh, that's hilarious. It's supposed to be in Seattle, so they have Seattle externals, but it's mostly shot in Vancouver. So every Vancouverite is going to recognize. And then they have some scenes out of New York. But I think YVR plays like literally all the airports. maybe that was also part of the fun, because I'm sitting there, okay, Seattle, Vancouver. Because they'll show like a Vancouver transit bus. Two scenes later, it's a Seattle transit bus. Yeah. Then an RCMP cruiser shows up.
Well, actually, it was funny because in Castledillon, when they're driving into Vancouver over the Lionsgate Bridge, and you see the sign walking to Vancouver, I'm like, oh, we're going to drive by the office.
Hi! Yeah. That is a really fun film, Finding Mr. Right. I saw that as well. And it's just a charming kind of crowd pleaser. Not everything works. And, the score is a little overpowering. Here's where you cry. Here's where you cry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I still enjoyed it overall. It was a fun watch, and I was glad I put it on the schedule.
One film that didn't make my list, but I'd like to mention, is Patch Town. Not great. I liked it, but it didn't really do a lot for me. But visually, if you like Jean-Pierre Jeunet, Mark Caro films, this is gonna tweak what you like, I think.
As soon as the movie opens, the first scene, I'm like, yeah, okay, this is... Why are they singing?
Yeah, I know.
Why are
I
they
know.
Singing?
If they could cut out the singing, I would like a lot more. And honestly, the supporting characters were a lot more entertaining than the leads.
Yeah.
But,
they had the best lines, and they were really well delivered. And I think I would like to track down the short, because I think the short would probably be a lot better.
Yeah.
There was just... It looked interesting, but I just didn't care for it.
Yeah, the story didn't really... Do anything, but visually very interesting.
It sucks because you're at a festival where everybody is connected to everybody in the film, and you can't say anything because somebody is around. Adrian talked to somebody who worked on the film and told him he didn't like it, and I was like, dude, that's rough.
Yeah,
that was the first time I've ever had to do that. A friend of mine who worked on the film, he said, what did you think? And I was like, I wasn't a big fan. It was so tough, and I wouldn't be doing him any service if I lied to him.
No.
But I did tell him the same thing. So like Colleen said, like the visuals are really cool. Like it's got a lot of stuff going on for it.
certainly shows potential for a filmmaker with an interesting vision.
Yeah.
I mean, I would give it another, I'd give him another shot. I just didn't care for the story.
Yeah.
Lose the music first off.
Yeah, to start with, lose the music. Not that they couldn't sing, I just, no interest. I did not pay for a musical. That's not what I wanted.
The main dude did have really wicked Sideshow Bob hair, though.
Yes, he did. That was the first thing I noticed.
They're trying to invoke the Cabbage Patch Kids so bad, like, they must have had the most hardcore spiral perm going on to get
the opening scene of the film, they're in this big factory, and they're, all these cabbages are coming along. You're thinking, what the hell is going on here? And then they rip them open and tear up babies, tie nooses around them, and put them on hooks.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, this is actually kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, this is going to be sweet.
Yeah. And then, damn it, why are they singing?
Yeah.
Stop singing. Stop singing.
Stop singing. Any final thoughts on the festival for the year?
It was really cold.
Yes. Yeah, it was colder than usual.
How many days to the next Whistler Film Fest?
Yeah, 300.
Can I stop marking my calendar today?
Thank you, Whistler Film Festival, for not using the conference center for films.
Oh, thank God. Yeah, can we thank them for that?
Golf clap.
Yeah.
This is Adrian's first year, so you never got to experience the conference center.
where the
projection booth is 2 feet away from you, behind you.
Oh, wow.
And you can hear the giant fan from the projector.
Yeah. Oh. And the uncomfortable chairs.
Yeah, as the chairs slowly
just fold up.
Wear your butt down to pain.
Well, they're just conference chairs, right?
Yeah, could you imagine watching that Cinco de Mayo movie at the conference center?
No.
Counting the minutes.
I could sit through that on that. It held my interest the entire time.
Just couldn't walk home.
You'd be crippled up when you go to stand, but that's neither here nor there.
I liked the venues. I liked Village 8 being back.
Yes.
Made it really easy.
Yeah.
I really hate when people from the movie are in the audience and clap every time they come on screen.
Great.
It happened multiple times at multiple screenings. Other than that, I had a blast. I always have a blast at this festival. It's everybody's really nice. There's no competition for seats. You go to a major festival and everybody's so bloody serious.
Yeah.
And you come here and it's just like, where's the pizza place? Where's the dogs?
Yeah.
It's really cold. Can we go to our next movie?
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah. It's. I have a lot of fun. If people should check Whistler out. It's a very small festival, and you don't have your big prestige films, but the pass is very cheap. And the hotels are cheap if you're coming from out of town, because you always get a deal through the website. The hotel we're staying at is a 4-star hotel, and it's $90 a night.
Yeah, it's still shoulder season.
Yeah,
it's what, like 10 minutes from the Rainbow Room to the Cultural Center one. It's not far. Everything's close.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I highly recommend the festival if you're listening, and maybe we'll see you next year.
Because
we'll be back.
Oh, yeah. We'll be back. Do we have you hooked in now?
Oh, I'm hooked. Yeah. Every single year, I'll be here.
Awesome.
I had a blast. Good. It was awesome watching movies with all of you. Just a great feeling. Just overall really great feeling. And like Bill said, there's no... It's not like business as usual.
No, it's a really relaxed
super
festival.
Chill.
Yeah.
That was nice, you know.
Hey, we had breakfast with Bruce McDonald, essentially. Well, it was really awesome.
Sort of, yeah.
That's what I said, essentially.
Essentially.
It was really hard not to fan.
Storm, huh? Oh, big time.
Yeah, you and Bill,
and you thought I was bad.
Yeah, I'm all about it.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because I never tweet.
Only during festivals.
Only during film festivals.
Yeah.
And I think this is my first festival where I haven't vomited.
Yes! A win!
A win!
So anything else to add before we wrap it up from Whistler? Even though you guys still have more movies to watch.
Yeah, I still got two more movies to watch.
we're going home, man. We're done.
Yeah, we're done.
Cool.
I'll see you at American Hustle tomorrow.
Fuck you. I'm going to drop the mic.
Fuck you. Fuck you, that's all I got to say.
All I have to say is you owe me a life.
Oh, yeah! ending with Yetta Reeves always wins. So, from Whistler.
Oh, we'll see you next time.